This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
طالع البدر علينا من ثنيات الوداع وجب الشكر علينا ما دعا لله داع أيها المبعوث فينا جئت بالأمر المطاع جئت شرفت المدينة مرحبا يا خير داع مرحبا يا خير داع.
Okay, bismillah, alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulullah, amma ba'd, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, my dear Prophet Islam, and welcome to the first episode, and hopefully inshallah before this poor slave of Allah leaves, we will have a finish. So we'll go on a fast track. So I'm not going to go into the specifics of it, but we're going to go through al-ibar wal-idat. Most important things about the lessons learned from it. So let's go first inshallah. So we'll talk about why is it important to actually study the seerah. Let's start with the sisters. Just think, why are we here? You know, what are you expecting from this? Obviously, this is one thing. But why do you think it's important for us to study the seerah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? I don't know, Shaykh, they told me there's candy. I came, and alhamdulillah, that's all I need. Go ahead, my dear sister. Allahu Akbar. Very good. That's one. Okay, that's the masadir. Actually, the sister's way ahead of me. I was thinking first, why should we study the seerah? And where is the masadir? Where are the sources that we get it? She said, because we know the Quran is authentic. That's one. MashaAllah, good for you. Is this sister Sara? Farha, oh, from last night? Yeah, I remember you. MashaAllah, good for you. Brothers, why do you think we should be studying the seerah? Why is it so important for us to know the seerah? Allahu Akbar. To get to know the most beloved or the best human being that ever walked on the face of the earth from his birth to his death, and also to emulate that. Very good, mashallah. How could you not know if you don't know the seerah? So that's one way to do it. Any other things, dear sisters, you want to add? Why we should be actually learning about the seerah? To extract the lessons learned from the seerah and emulate, right on, mashallah, very good. Brothers, it's very eloquent, so I'm just saying, you know, I don't know if you can top that, but why do you think we should be studying the seerah, brothers? One more and we'll go on, inshallah. Okay, no problems, that's good, you're doing good. So first of all, The scholars say it is extremely important for us to actually understand. You know why? Because who took us out of darkness to light? Who is the one that is going to give us the opportunity by the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to close the gates of hellfire and open the gates of Jannah? Who is the one that give us the opportunity to be able to be proud that we're Muslims? That was the best feet that ever walked on the face of the earth, the best womb that ever carried a human being, and the best hand that was raised to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy upon us, and the best drop of water on the face of the earth with the tear that he shed for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fearing for us to be punished, and. The best feet that were blooded, seeking for that, for his da'wah. And you can go on for a long time, but I'm just trying to tell you why is it important, and who is this man that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose. So you have to go in the background a bit. But you know the scholars say he's so special. You know how special he is? Because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala khalaq al-khalq, he created the creation and he chosen from the creation the righteous. They are rank. Hum darajatun indallah. They are rank higher than the average. And he said, from the righteous, he chosen the prophets. And from the prophets, he chosen the messengers. And from the messengers, he chosen Ulil Azm, the five. And from the five, he chosen the two, Khalilan, the closest company to him. From the two, he chosen the one, Al-Mustafa, the chosen one, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he's the best of the best of the best of the best. But look how humble he is. And you will know that when we go to the seerah and the lessons learned from it. But in the beginning, before the background, he came from the noble of society, and you'll understand why. And what was he known for, by the way? Before the Ba'tha, before he received the revelation, what was his laqab? What was he known for? His nickname, that, for lack of a better name. Okay, Sadiq is close. Sadiq was his best friend. You got it. It's close enough. As-Sadiq, Al-Wa'd Al-Ameen. Very good, mashallah. Okay, so I'm going to tell you a few things, and we're going to talk about the lessons learned from it. Sheikh, we're still going to end up with you then. We heard Brother Ahmed, but I want to get Sheikh Ahmed also. But Adil, inshallah. May Allah bless him, mashallah. We had some serious barbecue after we went halal swimming on, what was it called? Kunuchi, Kuchi, Kuchi, Mama, Kuchi, whatever. It sounds like a disease to me. I don't know why, man. Or Chinese food or something. Kuchi Madlo. Okay, say that 3 times fast, man. Okay, it was good. And by the way, this is my style is to the youth. And to be honest, and I said every time I want somebody to come forward to recite ayat from the Quran and also somebody to give me the khatiras. Cool? So I gave that as your Amir, Brother Ali, Habibullah, and he's going to arrange that. If not, then we can make a vote to make it easy for the man. Who's going to come and say the recite the ayat? And who's going to come and give me a khatira? 5 minutes, either a lesson learned from an ayah, a lesson learned from a hadith, or a story that you can do something. Because I want to bring you up, okay? I want you to come forward right here and turn around and face this, because I want to train leaders. So when I leave, I said, I make a deal with you, we have to put something. We're going to start a new club, Heroes Club or a youth club or whatever it is. You come up with something, I'll facilitate it for you, and I'll be your mentor from abroad, doesn't matter. That was the deal we did today, inshallah. And that's the goal, all right? Very good. So let's talk about it. Look at the environment that he was born in. Fornication, adultery, you're talking about gambling, alcohol, women were bought and sold, they were inherited, they had a raya, a banner, you know, a tent that everybody else used to, or whatever it is, for the highest bidder. The people used to actually go ahead, you go, my daughter, have intimate relations with this man because he's from ilyat al-qawm. This man is rich, this one is noble, this one is known because we want the lineage for him. That was the environment that we're in. Amazing. A woman would have intimate relations with different men, and when they have a baby, she can choose the father of her choice. Unbelievable. People used to kill each other. It was nothing. They changed the dates and the months in order for them to accommodate their businesses and all of that stuff. Ajib, an environment that was harsh, unbearable. But he was born to change all of that. So, number one lesson, if you're in an environment that is not righteous, you have to change it. Don't ever have a defeated attitude. Don't say, what am I going to do? Why? Because you already know that one man, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, changed, has an ummah following him, 1.7, 1.8, whatever billion Muslims around the world. So don't ever say, I'm only one person. You are an ummah. Like, who was an ummah that was mentioned in the Quran? Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. And he was from his sulala. He says, Kareem, Ibn al-Kareem, Ibn al-Kareem. From the lineage that was extremely important. That's why, you know, among the scholars will tell you that he came from a lineage that is noble, so people actually can trust you. People can listen to you. Another one, the name, Sadiq al-Wa'd. Why? Because he has already made a deposit before he receives the revelation, because now people know you, they trusted you, they didn't follow the whims and desires of the environment around them, so don't be a pushover. And don't just follow, because you know what, Sheikh, I live in Brisbane, man. Everybody does this, so I might as well do it. لا يكن أحدكم إمّعه. Do not be a follower, you gotta be a leader. بل وطنوا أنفسكم. Be steadfast. In ahsanu, if the people were good, be good. In asa'u, fatajannab al-isa'a. Don't reply in it. If they're bad, no. If they're good, alhamdulillah, you should be the best of leaders. But remember, the series of the akhlaq was chosen purposely for the khutbah because of that. Because of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was known for what? What was Wisam al-Sharaf? What was the medal of honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the best of creation to be when he described them? Allahu Akbar. My wife, sorry. That. She gets a candy for sure. No, take the whole thing. Yeah. Because وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Indeed, you are the best of character. Could you imagine? And that's how the dividend paid back, because he was known for that. And you know what? He's not truthful. That lying, when he said when he traveled far and he was asking, did he ever lie before? Did anyone claim to be a prophet before him in his family or the peninsula? Who follows him, the poor, the rich? And there are criteria that we have to understand and we reflect upon it. And he used to live al-khala, so that he used to love being alone, in seclusion. So you have to also learn. What do you learn from that? What do you do when you're all alone? When you're secluded with Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula? Look how he used to ponder and reflect about the creation of Allah. We look at Surah Al-Duha. وَالْضُحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا وَلَا الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. You know what الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى? The best of what is the end is better than the beginning. What is that? Most of the people say the hereafter is actually better than that in this life. That's fine. But there's another interpretation. أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى وَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى وَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى. أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا Were you not an orphan? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you the family, gave you the people that looked after you, gave you. ضَالًا, you were seeking guidance. He used to ponder and reflect. You know, he looks down when he goes to Ghar Hira. Have anybody been Ghar Hira before? I did it once. I'm telling you, it's not that easy. But Khadija radiallahu anha used to go up and serve him food. Didn't ask questions. She knew that this man had a mission. Honored. Why are you doing this? Give me your contact. You text me all the time. You don't call me anymore. You don't love me anymore. All of that stuff. So sisters, if you have a man that has a mission, you back him up. You're there for them. Be like Khadija radiallahu anha. And brothers, you have to have something, man. You got to leave a legacy behind. You cannot be just a one or a zero. That's just a number, man. But when you leave something behind. And every one of us has to leave something behind. Every one of us, Allah gave him a purpose in life. Something that gave you a gift, whether it's money, whether it's knowledge, whether it's connections, whether it's whatever it is. That you use that for the sake of Allah. So you have to have a purpose of life. So what do you do when you're all alone, man? Do you go and serve bad stuff? Or do you ponder and reflect? So the lessons learned here, لَا تَجْعَ اللَّهَ أَهْوَنَ النَّظِرِينَ عَلَيْكَ. Don't let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla as the least of your worries of those who see you. Yes? أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى. This is what that وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. That's what the interpretation that is stronger. Not just the hereafter is better than that in this life. No. Look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gradually took him over. You know, you were an orphan, by the way. His father died before he was born. And in 6, the mother died. That's doubly orphaned. And why do you think that is? You see, this is a soft heart. When somebody says, you know, you won't know what I'm talking about. No, he knows what you're talking about. Orphan been there. Poor been there. Rich been there. And look at all the stages in his life. You can't tell me he doesn't know what you feel like. He knows exactly what you feel like. He's been there, done that. And when you're going into these stages, you'll understand why. He used to actually take a shepherd. What most of, you know, understand the scholars will tell you that prophets and messengers were shepherds. Why? You learn patience, mashallah. You learn patience, you ponder and reflect. And let me give you a lesson right here. A shepherd, how did he take their flock, brothers and sisters? What is the job of a shepherd? And that's something you have to know if you're a leader in this community. You must. Right on, my brother. What's your name, Sheikh? Tahir, mashallah alaik. Brother Tahir has given me a lot of answers. Good for you, man. Are you single or married, man?
Married.
Married. I always ask, sorry, it's just not what I say. Yes. Khalas, khalas. All right. The lessons learned. Remember, guys, usually leaders, where did they walk? front. Can they see anything behind? No. A shepherd puts the flock ahead of him. That means keep your eyes on the people you shepherd, guys. So if you're an emir or it doesn't matter, you're in charge of anything or anyone, you have to keep that in mind. Keep the flock in front of you. Keep an eye on it. And so on and so forth. Now understanding where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yajidka yateeman fa'awa wajidka dalan fa'hada, didn't He not see you? You're seeking guidance and He gave you the guidance. A'ilan, you're in need of a financial support, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you. But remember, here's the process, and I'll skip a few things back and forth, but because of the ayat. The lesson learned from the Ba'tha, brothers and sisters, are huge. So you'll understand that he was also, when he was born, he was given to away for 4 years away. Why? Obviously to learn a better language and a cleaner thing and so on and so forth. Again, it's just too deep to go through. But what you need to know, that when he came back, it was the barakah that he went with. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts barakah because of your actions and deeds. Because of that deposit you make with Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula. So when you go to a place, what do you think, guys? Do you make a difference? Can I ask you a question? If you living right here in Brisbane right now, and a government decides to say, you know what, no more Muslims, we don't need you anymore, do you think people will miss you? Do you think people will come up with the petitions? No, we need the Muslims, man. They're the best of people. They're the best doctors, engineers, and lawyers. They're the best of everything. They're honest. They're trustworthy. They're punctual. They're clean. And the attributes are endless. So you have to think now, do I make a difference really? Does my neighbor know Islam through me, my behavior, my actions? And think about what he had to endure. Now think about the Ba'tha when he actually received it. When, you can imagine when he goes up and ponder and reflect. You know the stages? You have to also understand there's lessons learned from this. First thing, for 6 months, what did he do? He received ru'ya, 6 months before he received the revelation. I know some of the scholars says he was born a prophet and he became a messenger with iqra. So what's the difference between prophets and messengers? There's the first question. I know there are differences of opinion among the scholars. But what's known? What is the difference between a prophet and a messenger? Nabi and Rasul. MashaAllah. What's your name, Akhti? It's Yusra. Yassarallah alayk. She's right. I understand there are different opinions. I'm just saying the majority. A Nabi nubbi'a bil khabar. Walam yu'mar bil risala. So a Nabi is, you know, that you know halal, haram, people come and ask you certain things. Rasul bu'itha. You see, he was sent to people. And he received a revelation that will say, you know, haram, halal, you know, abrogate things before it. And that's the majority of the scholars say. So at least you know what's the difference. Now, Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, for 6 months, he used to receive a ru'ya. I'm going to take you through the stages and I will tell you what they mean. Okay? He received 6 months. Every time he would actually see something, a ru'ya, like a vision when he was, and he had a dream. In the following morning, he would see it come to truth. A ru'ya at night, he sees it in the morning. Ru'ya at night, sees it in the morning. For 6 months. What was that all about? Okay, so let me go through it, then we'll talk about it. Then, it was cut off. He missed it. Something was not right. And then, when he goes up on that Ghar Hira, he sees a man دحي الكلبي وزا جزاك الله خيرا صحابي رضوان الله عليهم أجمعين he used to be very you know white skin jet black hair very clean good looking so جبريل عليه السلام used to come in a form of دحي الكلبي رضي الله عنه And you can imagine there's nobody there. Nobody there. Absolutely nobody. And all of a sudden you see a man coming out. And then I'm sure you know the story and we'll just cut to the chase. He hugs him. He says, Iqra. So the first word in Quran was Iqra. And you have to understand why. And I'll go through them, come back to it inshallah. This ma ana biqari, as you know. I can't read. By the way, the proper terminology is I'm unlettered, not illiterate, unlettered. To be تأدباً مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Being polite and well-mannered with what you say about our Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. ما أنا بقارئ. He hugs him again, stronger this time, so I couldn't breathe. اقرأ. His ما أنا بقارئ, ما نفي, نفي. You know what, negation. I can't read. The second time is stronger. Says the same thing, I can't read. Third time, hugs him. He says, I thought I was going to die. But this is ma ana biqari. That's not nafi, it's istifham. He's asking, okay, if you're not going to take, I can't read, what do you want me to read? The third one. Says, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. Recite in the name of your Lord, the one that created. And then the scholars say the third stage after that is قم الليل إلا قليلا. It's called the قمز. That means stay up at night to pray. And then he says قم فأنذر. The other قم is go ahead, warn people. And I'll tell you why. They're in order, inshallah. And then he says ولربك فاصبر. Why are the stages? So let's go through them. First of all, 6 months given the ru'ya. Why? Because he's preparing him to receive the revelation. We learn gradual learning and teaching. And then the first word is iqra. That means what, brothers and sisters? What do you learn from that word? Again, I always ask a question when I want to get some water. Please, again, speak among yourselves. Go ahead. You know how knowledge is important for us? You know how proud I am when I heard very few brothers that I was with, you know, almost half of them want to go to Medina to learn knowledge. And for the right reasons, by the way. I was so proud of that. Wallahi. So I know they know themselves. Keep it up, man. So iqra, recite, acquire knowledge. It's an obligation. He says, Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula told Prophet Muhammad, says, قُلْ It's called what in Quran? طلبات العلم, طلاب العلم. قُلْ التَّلْقِنِيَّةِ In علم القرآن, you will learn this, inshallah. قُلْ It's called قُلْ التَّلْقِنِيَّةِ قُلْ يَا مُحَمَّدِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ Says, what did Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ask Allah to increase? Increase my wealth. Increase my fame. Increase my fortune. Increase my power. No. First candy. Allahu Akbar. Where is that? MashaAllah. What's your name, Ukhti? Tharwat. MashaAllah. Do you have to be the last one? Because I'm not going to make it. So I'm going to. Yeah, send this. Come, young man. Brother Muhammad. This guy is good, mashallah. Where's your dad, man? Oh, okay, he's on the other side because he used to give you cheat notes. I was cool with that. That's cool. Your mom, he gets a pinky. Here you go, man. Good man. Are you married? just checking. So, very good. Acquiring knowledge, brothers and sisters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Prophet Muhammad, قُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. Could you imagine, Sheikh? Oh Allah, increase my knowledge. That's the key for everything, Shaykh. So that's an order. Now what is knowledge without action? It's information. If you don't use your knowledge into action, it's just information, Shaykh. It's not beneficial whatsoever. It's just black and white. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا Now you know. It's knowledge in action. You know why? Because العلم بلا عمل من الجنون والعمل بدون علم لا يكون. Knowledge with no action, insanity. And action with no knowledge cannot be. You understand? So you have to have knowledge and action together. That's why Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu says, تعلمنا العلم والعمل معا. He used to recite 10 ayat, memorize them, implement them, then move on. So the Huffaz, my brothers and sisters, this is not a parrot. I appreciate and I respect that you're a hafiz. But remember, it means a lot more than that. And I'll tell you why. What is a hafiz, by the way? It says hafiz al-Quran. Tell me. I learned this from my son-in-law, by the way. He's a hafiz, mashallah. Ya Sheikh. But most people think that you're a hafiz of Quran. No, 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 no. The Quran is protecting you, Sheikh. Not the other way around. But if you don't know how valuable you are, let me tell you. Let me take the Baqarah away from you and I give you $10,000. Will you take it? What about Ali Imran? Another 10. You give me a juz and I give you 10,000. How rich are you, man? How rich are you, girl? Wallahi. Don't ever think about it. If you don't understand how valuable you are, you know why? Because Allah is using you as a miracle. Allah said that I will protect this. Allah is using you to protect it. That means you're just not just a hafiz. No, no, no. Much more than that. That means you have weight behind you. You're a thiqal. You're someone important. So if you're a hafiz, you better walk the talk, dude. Because you gave us a bad name. And remember, there are three types of people that will ignite the hellfire. Three types of hellfire. People will be the spark that will ignite the hellfire. Can you help me out? Tell me who they are. Who can tell me one? Allah yizik anna khair. What's your name, Akhti? Farah. MashaAllah. Another sister, Farah. Good for you. He's the one that seek knowledge to be called what? Alim. I remember as I'm going to be called waqat qil. Khalas, you took it. You got what you wanted. What else? Brothers, help me one of the three. Hey? Light on, man. He says, Jawad, waqat qil. I give charity, but you know what? I'm very generous. Qil, khalas, you got it from the people. Not. What's the third? Habibi? Yes, salam. Hi. That martyr that he said, you know, I fought for your sake. No, you fought to call, you know what? Brave. And waqat qil. It was said, you got it. That's what you did for. So remember that the intention is extremely important. And then we have that ru'ya. You have to seek knowledge, you have to be hungry for it. And then when you do, you have to value it because it was taken away. Then that's why وَالضُّحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا زَجَى مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. No, he hasn't left you, hasn't forsaken you. And he gives him why. And that's what gives you hope. Yes, my dear sister. The three? Number one is the one that got memorized the Quran, so he'll be called a qari. Or seek knowledge, he will be called a alim. That's number one. Number two is the one that gave money for charity, so he would be called generous, jawad. Waqat qil, it was said, khalas, you got what you wanted in this dunya, nothing for you, no soup for you, right? Number three, I know what you've been watching. Number three is the one that fought, so for the sake of Allah, but he actually fought himya, not for the sake of Allah. He did it, so he was called brave. This is the three. Did you get it, Ukhti? Good, mashallah. Very good. Now, قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Now, you're ready. I implemented the knowledge. Then I went where? So, قُمْ فَأَنذِرْ. Go ahead, man. Go ahead and warn people. Yes? You know, Imam Malik, rahmatullahi alayhi, he says, لَا تَتَكَلَّمْ حِينَ تُرِيدَ أَن تَتَكَلَّمْ وَتَكَلَّمْ حِينَ تُرِيدَ أَن لَا تَتَكَلَّمْ. It's a lughz. He says, don't talk when you want to talk, but talk when you don't want to talk. Can you decipher the hieroglyphics for me, please? What is Imam Malik radiallahu rahmatullahi alayhi wa was talking about? Okay. He says, you know, when you have the zeal and energy, I want to talk, let me give me here, Sheikh. I want to say something. He says, don't talk. Why? Because you don't have the knowledge, dude. You're going to make more damage than good, because you know what? Because you say something and people will follow you. Dude, this could be your zat to the hellfire, because people will follow you. So he says, if you don't know how important this is, how the amana is, don't talk, man. You don't got it yet. You're not qualified to talk just yet, dude. But now when you acquire knowledge, you know how important this is? Oh, no. I don't want to talk, man, because this is heavy. This is serious, man. I change people's lives. People depend on this. I can do this. I can do that. Now he says, now talk. Now you talk, because you got it. Yes? So I also shared with the brothers on the three steps of knowledge, according to Ibn Qayyim, rahmatullah alayhi, but it's not maqal, but we'll move on. It says, قُمْ فَأَنذِرْ, go and warn people. But who do you warn people? It says, عَشِرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ, go and warn your immediate family first. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ. Oh, you who believe, protect yourself first, and then your immediate family. Right. So when he did, he received it. He comes down. He sees Jibreel. He comes down. And when he used to go to Ghar Hira, he used to hear the pebbles. As-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. He used to hear the pebbles and the trees. He used to hear the creations. He was going up to Ghar Hira. As-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. He used to hear it. And now he sees Jibreel coming in this form, and he's coming down. He runs down. Zammiluni, zammiluni, dathiruni, dathiruni. And he runs to his best friend. Who was his best friend? Ya salam. Khadija radiallahu anha wa ardaha. What do you learn from that, ukhti? You just can't be a wife anymore. Wallahi. You know that your bachelor's doesn't get you much anymore nowadays? The competition is too steep. You gotta go for your master's, your PhD, and double PhD, and PS whatever, 3, and it's 5 now, I think. Yeah. So you know, Khadija, why do you think he cried? And I'm gonna talk about it, inshallah. You know that Amil Huzn, by the way. If you tell me the truth behind Amil Huzn, I give you this. I tricked you a little bit. Go ahead, Sister Farod. Okay, very good. MashaAllah, that's what most people say. You're right. Come here, son, Muhammad. But if you tell me the other opinion, I give you 2. Ah, there's another opinion? Yes. I know you're walking. It's good for you. It's right there, dude. Just give it to your mom and kiss her hand when you do it. Okay. I'll make it 3. And that's my final offer. Tell me the second opinion. Why was it called Amil Huzn? All right, no problems. Yes, my dear sister, go ahead. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. Dude, I am so impressed with Brisbane. Like, for real. They have answered some questions. Not too many people know about it. What's your name, Ukhti? Aruba? MashaAllah. Aruba, wallahi. Albette di Aruba, yani, bsaraha. If you know Arabic, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If not, don't worry about it. Don't search it. It's Egyptian, by the way. Egyptian. Sister Aruba, you're right. I'm going to pass it to you guys, and you pass it on, please. Here are your 3. You earned it. You know what the scholars say? Amil Huzn, because he lost his da'wah. He thought it was over. Quraysh has not allowed him to do anymore. After the death of his father, his uncle, that he had his back. And the backing, not just the tribalism, also the money. But he was no da'wah anymore. That was to him Amil Huzn. That's what the scholars say. When he went to Al-Ta'if and came back with bloody feet, with the those young whatever did what they did to the best of creation. Could you imagine, Sheikh? That was Amil Huzn according to the scholars. Because what makes you sad? What makes you happy? You know, when sometimes I see the young in our community doing donuts in the masjid. I know. You know, they have snow. Something, it's white stuff. You guys don't know what you're talking here. You don't know. It's, you know, doctors here knows exactly what I'm talking about. And then, you know, all of that stuff, yoo-hoos, and all of that. He says, oh, my God, man, they're honking and all of that stuff. They're celebrating and all of that stuff. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being worshipped now? Did people come back to the deen? Are all the sisters muhajjaba now? Is people playing Qiyamul Layl, coming for Fajr and Aisha and Jama'ah in the masjid? Ahurrir al-Aqsa? Did we get the Aqsa back? No. Pakistan beat India in cricket. Zindabad. I love everybody, by the way. I'm brown from the inside. I love biryani, so it's cool. You see this? It's a proof. See, when I got married to that girl in the back, I was like, I had like a... Well, right now I have one pack. It's not really six. It's just biryani belly. It's just like there, yeah. So I'm trying to swim and walk it off, inshallah. Allah Kareem. So, understanding that what makes you happy and what makes you sad is extremely important also. Yes? Now, when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes to his best friend, we said Khadija. Remember, because why? Because she was more than a wife to him. Aisha radiallahu anha was jealous after she was deceased. Khadija was deceased, radiallahu anha wa ardaha. وعن أمهات المؤمنين أجمعين. Aisha used to be jealous. أما أبدلك الله خيرا منها. Didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you something better? You know, brothers, if you're married, you know what I'm talking about. You imagine if your wife is already deceased or even divorced and you married a second wife. And your second wife says, am I not better than your first wife? What are you going to say? You know, between us, brothers, I know when we talk, we talk, meow. Yeah? I'm the man, I'm the lion. Right? We go home? Meow. Yes, slightly different. Huge. But Prophet Muhammad says, La wallahi ma abdalan Allah khayran minha. Nay, by Allah, he never gave me something better than her. She was alive right there. And he started saying, she believed me when nobody did. She gave me when everybody died. He started listing of things. And that's what I want you to be, my dear sister. Learning the seerah to be like Khadija radiallahu anha wardaha. Be more than a wife. Be his best friend. Be the supporter. And so on and so forth. I'll be talking about this a little more, inshallah, in the marriage workshop. See, I'm endorsing. This is advertising. It's just saying. So, this is how to do marketing. Everybody, I'm just saying. It's captured audience. So he comes back, cover me, shaken because he thought. And then on the way down, what did he see? He saw Jibreel for the first time. How many wings, brothers and sisters? 600 wings. 600 wings, for real. Expands the horizon. He says he covered the east to the west. As-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. Ana Jibreel wa anta Rasulullah. It's just like I'm getting goosebumps. Could you imagine the scene? You're running down and Jibreel shows up in 600 wings covering the east and the west. He says, As-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. Ana Jibreel wa anta Rasulullah. You would be thinking, you know, if you eat too much fool and falafel, you feel awful. It was too much fattoush. When you eat too much samosa at night, you'll have these nightmares. But she believed in him. She believed in him. Says, La wallahi la yukhzik Allah abada. He was worried about himself. What did she say? Says, Nay, Allah will never let you down. And why? She started to put the criteria down. You reach the next of kin. You help the needy. You reach for the poor. And you run the errands for the... And you learn to boost up your partner when they're down. Not kick him when they're down. She takes him to her cousin. Confirms. He says, هذا الناموس الأكبر. What is a ناموس? The ناموس is the big bird, أكبر, you know. He's الذي, he was also sent to whom? Did he say Isa? No, he said Musa, right on. Why? Okay. Because people did not, Isa alayhi salam was thought of in a different format. Yeah. But Musa alayhi salam was also known to be a prophet and a messenger. He comes back and now it starts. And he goes to his tribe in front of people. He calls him and he tells him a message. I come to warn you from a grave punishment and a hellfire. I've also come to give you the glad tiding. And if you follow, I am sent to you by Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula. Stabban laka sa'ir al-yawm. Alihada jama'atana. We thought there's an invasion coming, an army coming. That's why you gathered us all here in a rush? Who said that? Ya salam. Close. Who is his uncle? Abu Jahl or Abu Lahab? Do you believe it? His uncle was his worst enemy. So Allah says, تَبَّنْ لَكَ بَنْ تَبَّتْ يَدَى أَبِي لَهَبٍ وَتَبَّ. No. You, Abu Lahab. Could you imagine your uncle, your family, and look at the difference. But look at the difference here. Look at even though, MashaAllah. Abu Talib. How did he die, guys? Look, when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard about the death of Abu Talib, he ran right away. He loved him. He raised him. It was like a second father for him. أَنَا النَّبِيِّ لَا كَذِبْ أَنَا أَبْنِ عَبْدِ الْمُطَّلِبِ. He used to say that. أَنَا النَّبِيِّ لَا كَذِبْ أَنَا أَبْنِ عَبْدِ الْمُطَّلِبِ. He wasn't. But he was loyalty. I am the Prophet, no lie. I am the son of Ibn al-Muttalib, his uncle. He used to boast about it, proud of it. When his uncle was dying, there's a 911 call. He runs to him. He says, Ya Ammah, قُلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ كَلِمَةً أَشْفَعُ لَكَ بِهَا عِنْدَ رَبِّي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Oh, my uncle, say La ilaha illallah before you die. It's a word that I will intercede for on your behalf in front of Allah on Judgment Day for you. And Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, Ibn Abi Qami'ah, and all of these, Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayt, all of the lovely people. The worst of the worst were around about his uncle when he died. He says, well, and they used to make noise. Why? So he doesn't hear Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Used to make noise, any loud noise, so he would not hear it. He would go to him, says, Ya Amma, repeats it, say La ilaha illallah, and he would put his ear. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to put his ear right next to the lips of his uncle just to hear it. Say it to me, you don't have to say it to them. And then what he says, Wallahi la'in qultaha lanu'ayyirannaka biha abad al-dahr. By Allah, if you ever say it, we will make a mockery of you. We will ruin your reputation and your whole family and your tribe till Judgment Day. So he had to make a decision. He had to make a choice. You know, life is full of choices, guys. It's a choice that you have to make. But you have to be big enough and man enough to take the consequences of your choice. So he says, بَلْ عَلَى مِلَّةْ عَبْدِ الْمُطَّلِبِ. Nay, I will die on the way of my tribe. How many of you guys had difficulties wearing the hijab? Muslim family. How many brothers' parents freaked out when you went to Fajr and Jama'ah? How many of your parents actually said, if you you wear this, I don't know you. Have a beard. I mean, he says, you know what? You have to take off your hijab, otherwise you're not coming out with me. I get these phone calls, man. Wallahi, it breaks my heart. A brother crying, a sister crying. My father says, I will disown you if you wear a hijab. I received a phone call from a parent. Says, Sheikh, help me out. They're freaking out. My son, what happened to your son? Committed adultery? Left Islam? What happened, man? Had an early girl pregnant? What? He says, he's wearing a beard now. He goes to Fajr in the masjid. Come here, look closer. Smack you upside the head. What are you doing? Wallahi. Amazing, Sheikh. So remember that. You know what? And I'm going to tell you, up till now, my own family fights me. Wallahi, up till now. And my wife knows that. It's amazing, Sheikh. So don't worry about your your family. And when you go to the battles, remember, in one battle, you used to look for that, no more. So understanding the environment he had to go through and endure also is extremely important. About that, he made a shafa'a for him. He did, but you're not allowed. You understand? The ayah abrogated. He said, I made the shafa'a. So what does the narration say after our Prophet asked Allah to have take it easy on his uncle? What was his punishment? Ya salam, mashallah. Sister Aruba, you're right. Two narrations, yeah, no problems. He says one narration, he will wear slippers from the hellfire, it will boil the blood in his brain, or dahdah, meaning, or even coals from the hellfire he will step on, it will boil the blood in his brain. That's the least, by the way. The least amount of punishment on Judgment Day in the hellfire. Can you imagine, Shaykh? Ya salam. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals to give condolences to our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an ayah. If you give me the ayah, I give you this. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cried. His uncle, the one he looked after him. He didn't say la ilaha illallah. Tell me the ayah, you get this guy. And that's why, the way, one of the things you learn from the seerah. Okay. إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي. Oh, Shaykh, go ahead. Good. I said it, but you got. Shaykh Ali. Good for you. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَن يَشَاءَ. You're on your own, dude. Oh, good. I don't want any lawsuits here. My eye. Okay. إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَن أَحْبَبْتَ. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَن يَشَاءَ. Lessons learned from that seerah. It's a lot. We take it. Allah says, you will not guide those whom you wish or love. But the hidayah comes from Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula. So hidayah is two types. If you tell me the two types of hidayah, I give you this. Too many questions, Shaykh. Come on, give us a break, dude. Tell us, answer, yani. Come on, yani. This is Tharwat. Yes, sir. I'm telling you, for the past 30 years, I've traveled a lot. I have not had a community that were able to answer all these tough questions. Wallahi. Son, Muhammad, you're going to get tired. You're going to charge your mom mileage or something, man. All right. No, I think I gave her this one before, so let's do something different. Here you go, man. Jazakallah khairan. You see, there's a hidayah, al-dalala, right? So I can guide you. He says, listen, you're thirsty? Yeah, here's the water, you go this way, yes? But the tawfiq is like that, you know what, you actually go and actually get it. I can open the door for you, but I won't get it. That's the difference, you understand, guys? وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. I just heard the ayah. إِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ. You will not guide those whom you wish, but Allah says, وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Indeed, you guide those for the straight guidance. What's the difference? Exactly that. Yes? I can guide you, I can tell you here's halal and haram. ما تركت فيكم, I have left you with nothing. على المحجة البيضاء. ليلها كنهارها. I've given you the straight path. Follow Quran and Sunnah, you cannot go wrong. Follow the way that I was on and my companions. You can't go wrong. So why do we invent? Why do you innovate? Why? He told you already, this is a straight path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. Today I have completed your way of life, fulfilled of my favors upon you, and accepted Islam to be your way. No. You know, the deen is not complete. No. Are you implying that Allah is lying? Are you asking that Prophet Muhammad ﷺ actually hoarded, you know, he held back some information to the private club? La. Allah said it, ya Shaykh. So al-asl fi al-ibadah al-ittiba' laysa al-ibtida' ya ahbab. The origin of the foundation of the ibadah, the acts of worship, is to follow, not to innovate. This is what you do. So I tell you another story, and I'll try to keep it less than 5 hours, inshallah, for tonight. Okay. The time is it's coming. I know that 8:15 is khalas yani.
So Uqba ibn Abi Ma'it, when he was given da'wah, you know the story of the people coming in now. You know he was given da'wah in secrecy first, right? Dar al-Arqam, Ibn al-Arqam. Yes? Do you know? Okay, I gave it away, but I still give you a candy. Why do we pray Dhuhr and Asr in secrets and Fajr, Maghrib and Isha in publicly, loud? Okay. Right. So when they were first given da'wah, right, they couldn't pray because in Dhuhr and Asr, these people in the marketplace, right? They can't say, A'udhu billahi. They can't say that. They can't recite. Beautiful, mashallah. Brother Ahmed, everybody has Ahmed, mashallah, has beautiful voice. Yani. So they used to recite secretly. But when people are asleep, you know, around Fajr and Maghrib and Isha, khalas, they're done. They used to recite it loud. Some of the opinions of the scholars, and that's why we do it jahr, you know, out loud, aloud in those prayers, and secretly and silently in those prayers. You're allowed to do both, by the way. That's okay. Now, Al-Arqam, you know the story about how he sold his thing on a bet that somebody was drunk and blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to go into these details because it really doesn't benefit as much. But the way they started the da'wah, you know, in secrets, and how the Sahaba used to come from traveling far. And this is when something went, who came from afar? You tell me, brothers, and listen to this. Bilal al-what? Al-Habashi. Suhaib al-what? Rumi, mashallah. Sulaiman, she's asking for it. Sulaiman al-Farisi, ya salam. Okay, brother Muhammad, come in, dude. I'm sorry, man. My wife, I have to assure, it's going to be a long drive and a long night. I'm hanging around with this girl for a long time. So I have to, yani, do something. What color would you like, honey? Meow. I'm training you, boys. Okay, you pick, man, because I mean, you pick a color. Good choice. Go give it to her. Yeah, take the whole bucket. It's a safe bet. All right. What did you learn from that, man? Dude, Bilal al-Habashi, Abyssinia. Suhaib al-Rumi, Roman, Italian, the European, Romans. And what else? Salman al-Farisi, Persian. Have you ever said, you know, where do you come from? As I always talk about, what color is your skin? You know, even us, we have some indirect prejudice within us. You know, when we get married, what shade of skin color do you have? Do you use fair and lovely? Ajib, ya Sheikh. What happened to Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum? What happened, man? The most noble in the sight of Allah. Which one? The whitest, the richest, the tallest, the skinniest, the most. La. Taqwa is you measure here, ya Ammi. So you learn the Sahaba. They used to come from afar. Salman al-Farisi came out Persia looking for Bilal al-Habashi. You know what? When Umayyah ibn Khalaf, I'll talk about it when it came to the battles. How he ended up in the Battle of Badr. Last time I went to Umrah, I took the youth the area of Badr, and we explained the battle. It was very emotional, wallahi. We'll talk, one whole section is going to be about battles. To give you what? To give you pride. To know who you are. To build a bridge from the past to the better future, inshallah. But now you understand that he came and they wanted to, he did the secret, and he would go to talk to people on the side. He never gave up. And how they actually embraced Islam, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him fatah after. But how he used to do it. In secret, he first. It was very few in numbers. They still. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would go and tell people, a man comes forward, and people now, they tell him, stop doing this. Don't do this anymore. Tufarriq, you're dividing families. You're telling, أَجْعَلْتَ الْآلِهَا إِلَهًا وَاحِدٍ. What are you talking about? You're making all these gods, with a small g of course, into one god? Okay. I say history repeats itself. Early Muslims were persecuted, just like us. What was their crime, guys? Yeah, their crime, they said, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ مُحَمَّدٌ رَسُولُ اللَّهُ. Does it sound familiar for you guys? If you're persecuted now, what's your crime, man? Guilty of what? Guilty of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Ajib, isn't it? Okay. And I always remind you to go back in Surah Al-Mutaffifin, end of Surah Al-Mutaffifin, it will give you the answer. The timeline of the Ummah is the same, by the way. You'll find this in Surah Al-What? Timeline of the Ummah. In Surah. Okay. If you tell me the timeline of the Ummah, in which Surah of the Quran, you get two now. My final offer is three. Timeline of the Ummah. Who said that? Allahu Akbar, Surah Al-Kahf, Brother Faris, Habibi, MashaAllah alayk, Yabni. Come. Muhammad, right? What's your name? Zuhair?
Yes.
Brother Zuhair, go be, kiss his hand, man. Wallahi, Shaykh. Actually, I asked the brothers to kiss the forehead of their father, the hand of the mother, and I explained that in the khutbah of your. I'm proud of you, son. MashaAllah, Brother Zuhair. Brother Faris, MashaAllah. He's right. First, there are three words in Surah Al-Kahf. Three words in Surah Al-Kahf will give you the timeline of the Ummah. You will see what happened in the past, what we're going through, and what will happen. Three words. If you tell me the three words, too much Shaykh. Come on, man. You see the reason? Remember, otherwise you get bored. I have 5 minutes left with you. Tell me the three words that will tell you the stages of the timeline of the Ummah. You will get the one every word you tell me. Okay, maybe the story. All right, how about the people of the cave, Al-Kahf? Yes, honey? No problems. All right, when they said, go get some food and do what? Wala? Yeah. Yeah. Don't make any noise. Don't change anything. You're dealing with a tyrant. Yeah? The king at the time was a tyrant. Don't ruffle feathers. Don't take him on. Yes? Smart, intellectual da'wah. Second stage. The ashab, the gardens. Yuhawir. Yeah? It becomes what? No, now I am equal. This is a tyrant. Don't go there, man. You're stupid because he's going to wipe you out. You just become a number. You understand? Every time we plant seeds, they wipe them out. We lose. You have to be smart, akhi. I don't want you to be another statistic. Don't be an easy bait, man, for those guys who go online and they tell you, come and fight with us and go do this and go do all that stupid stuff that you're just a number. Yes? And then, but you're equal? Then he says, you hawir. Khalas, now I'm equal. Then I can debate, I can discuss and quarrel with you. But when you have the quwwah, he says, biquwwah. When you have it like dhul qarnayn. When you have the power, when you have the image, we have the army, you have the infrastructure, you have everything else, you say biquwwah. Yeah? And that's the three timelines. Okay. Now to end with, inshallah, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when it came to the last the stage in this da'wah, inshallah. Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayth, and I'll finish with this because of extremely something important I want to finish with, inshallah. When he was given da'wah, you know the story of Hamza radiallahu anhu, when he came in, how he became a Muslim, how he embraced Islam? And I'll finish with how the big boys embraced Islam and the difference. Hamza radiallahu anhu, who's Hamza radiallahu anhu? Brother Hamza, the tall guy in the back? He knows how to swim too, mashallah, and he's good. Oh, today I got hustled. On the way over, says, Sheikh, give us a few swimming lessons. I go, you guys don't know how to swim? Okay, no problems, I'll give you swim lessons. And then, okay, let's race. Okay, I'm sure, okay. So, and these guys, Okay, brother Ali was saying 1, 2, 3, and these guys were. I was going, what happened? What happened to give me a swim lesson, Sheikh? I got hustled, man. These guys beat me, left me behind, way behind. All right. So we'll do it again. I said, I have to work out now to keep up with you boys. So Hamza radiallahu anhu comes home. A lady comes in. Here's Abu Jahl telling Prophet Muhammad saying something bad about him. So she stands outside of the Mecca, the boundaries, because he used to go hunt for lions and hunt for Hamza radiallahu anhu, Sayyid al-Shuhada. She says, Atasubbuhu ana ala dini. He goes to Abu Jahl in front of his own tribe, his own posse, smacks him on his nose. You understand? What? The people come in to eat him up, says, no, leave him. I did curse his nephew. He's right. So now he's on the hook. He says, Atasubbuhu ana ala dini. What are you doing? You know what? You're doing something. I follow his way of life. And he wasn't a Muslim. So he goes home and says, oh Allah, now I'm in trouble. If it's Islam is right, guide me to it. If not, get me out. Give me a way out. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed Hamza radiallahu anhu to embrace Islam. That's the way it is. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was hoping for the same thing of Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayt. Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayt was also among the Ilyat al-Qawm, the noble of society. So he was invited to dinner. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was invited by Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayt for dinner. He says, come for dinner. He says, no, I will not come for dinner unless you embrace Islam. He was hoping to do the same thing with Hamza radiallahu anhu. He says, no, I won't do that. He says, okay, I'm not coming. And it was like a shame, something shameful, that if you don't accept the invitation. So he says, come for dinner. He says, no, unless you say it. So the third time, he says, okay, what do you want me to say? Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, are you happy now? So he embraced it. Umayyah ibn Khalaf heard that Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayt embraced Islam. He goes to him, he says, wajhi ala wajhika haram. You know what? You cannot be my friend anymore. Unless you go back and curse him or say something bad. A decision he had to make. That's what I'm trying to tell you, brothers and sisters. Your life is about a decision. That's it. You decide whether you go to heaven or hell. I'll tell you why. I know it's written. I got it. I'm not going to go to the divine decree on this one here. If I tell you guys, you go on M1, you take this ramp, you go to Gold Coast, you go to Byron Bay, you go to Anusa, these lovely places. Yeah? Or you take this map, road here, you go to the business district, right? Whatever it is. It's business, like only dunya, and the other one is like all fun and games and happy and all of that stuff. You're driving the car, man. You made a decision which ramp you've taken. Yes? Now, you take the ramp that goes into the hustle and bustle and the worldly people and they're lying and stealing and cheating and you end up downtown, whatever, right? I go, how did I get here? Well, you drove here, man. But I wanted to end up in the Barrier Reef. I wanted to go to Cannes. Well, it's a decision you had to make. So when you go in the end, and I'll be talking in the hereafter again, inshallah, don't be surprised where you end up, man. Because it's a decision you made and a GPS you implanted. And you followed the path knowing very well where you're going to end up. So he had to make a decision. His friend or Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So unfortunately, he made the wrong decision. He goes to our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says something bad and he did something even worse. Jibreel alayhi salam comes, reveals the ayat that will tutla ila yawm al-qiyamah. يَوْمَ يَعَضُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ. You know, among regret and remorse on judgment day, يَوْمَ, meaning the day on judgment day, he will bite down on his day. يَا لَيْتَنِي. يَا لَيْتَنِي, by the way, there's a whole khutbah on this one. I wish, I could have, I would have. تَخَذْتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ سَبِيلًا. يَا لَيْتَنَا مَا اتَّخَذْ فُلَانًا خَلِيلًا. Fulan, because he's not worthy of being mentioned. Uqba ibn Abi was not mentioned in the Quran, not befitting for him. And he says, I wish I took the path of the messenger. لَقَدْ أَضَلَّنِي عَنِ الذِّكْرِ بَعْدَ إِذْ جَاءَنِي. This person here, he misguided me after guidance was given to me. So we have to finish with this. The suhba, brothers and sisters, the company you keep, the company you keep, the company you keep. I talk about it all the time. You know when you tell somebody I like you, you know what are you saying? You're actually saying I'm like you. If you tell somebody I like you, man, why? That means I'm like you. I have a lot in common. So be careful who you have as a friend, who you're walking with, who you want to be resurrected with. We'll finish with Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, embracing Islam. You know, he heard, you know, he wanted to come down and kill Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So obviously when the Sahaba says he wanted to deter him, he said, go back, go fix your own first, your own home. Your own sister embraced Islam. He got furious. He was just buying time. He goes, knocks on the door, and her husband goes into the closet, hiding. Umar al-Khattab is coming, man. He hears ayat. He hears ayat. What surah? Yes, go to the Taha. Taha, ma anzalna alayka al-Qur'an litashqa. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Taha is not, the strong opinion of scholars, Taha is not a name of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You pick one. Taha is Taha. Taha is one of the recitation. Taha is Taha. Taha, ضع يدك قدمك على الأرض. ما أنزلنا عليك القرآن لتشقى. Put your foot down. The Quran was not revealed upon you to be a source of difficulties. Because he used to stay up all night to pray. And he would, his feet would get swollen. He would move one foot up, one foot, says, Taha, ma anzalna alayka al-Quran litashqa. And then he hears it. He starts to shake, knocks on the door. First he knocks, he gives her a backhand. She starts to bleed. His heart did soften. His sister is down on the floor, bleeding from the mouth because of how he hit her. He says, what is that I hear you reciting? He wanted to sit. He said, don't sit here. and it's a long story. He says, first, if you want to do that, go take a shower. Can you imagine when you hear the truth, man? When Prophet Muhammad makes a dua, oh Allah, give me the best of Umarain. Yeah, obviously, it was Abu Jahl, Amr ibn Hisham. And by the way, he was known for Abu al-Hakam. You know, his nickname, his kunya was Abu al-Hakam, the father of wisdom. But then the Prophet says, no, he's not Abu al-Hakam, he's Abu Jahl. He's Abu Jahl. If you tell me why, too tough. All right, I know. Because you know, talking about, Ghassaq and all of that stuff, al-Hukum, and all of that on Judgment Day, that Allah will talk about the punishment. After he says, you know what? He took a date and covered it with butter, something nice and oil, and he put, this is the al-Hulqum, this is the Ghassaq, this is what the Quran is talking about. And he says there's 17 angels, thamaniya. He said, we can take him. these angels, we can take them, man, on Judgment Day. We are big, we are numbers. The Prophet ﷺ called him Abu Jahl. This is Naraba Hakam, is Abu Jahl. SubhanAllah. So when Prophet Muhammad ﷺ heard that Umar is coming, he says, what is this? He says, only him. He says, he comes now. He's coming to for Prophet Muhammad ﷺ after he heard what he heard. He was coming to kill Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, and people are now worried. Who stands up? Hamza. Hamza stands up. He says, I'll take him on. He says, Ijlis ya Hamza. You know, Hamza radiallahu anhu was the uncle of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But when he was asked, who, man Akbar? Akbar in Arabic means what? Older, right? And also Akbar, who's greater? You know how he has to answer? Amazing, yani. He says, Rasulullah akbaru minni walakinni wulidtu qablah. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is greater than I, but I was born before him. Ya salam. Ta'addub ya sheikh. How well-mannered and polite they were, even with the etiquettes of words. Umar radiallahu anhu comes in, and he's now, everybody's worried. This is Umar, dude. Comes in, knocks on the door, bulldozes. And Hamza is ready. He says, leave him to me. He grabs him by the shoulders and shakes him. أَمَا أَنَا لَكَ أَن تَسْلَمْ يَبْنَ الْخَطَّابِ. Isn't it time for you to embrace Islam, Umar, the son of Khattab? He says, أَنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Allahu Akbar. Ana ya Rasulullah, it's time. So we learn a few things. First, you have to speak the language of the people. The language of Umar was power. So he spoke his language. He shook Umar, the language of power. So when you give da'wah, you speak people's language. And Umar radiallahu anhu warda, when he embraced Islam, what is the first thing he do? Alasna ala al-haq? Umar, man, radiallahu anhu warda. Don't mess with Umar, dude. As soon as he embraced Islam, he says, Alasna ala al-haq? Are we not following the truth? He says, Bala, yes, we are. He says, Lima narda daniya fi dinina? Why are we hiding? Well, it's time. Two lines. For the first time, they go jahr. First time. They have two lines going out. One, Hamza, radiallahu an. The second is Umar, radiallahu an. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the middle, and everybody also was following. La ilaha illallah. Muhammad Rasulullah, and nobody touched them. Ya salam. So when you embrace Islam, what have you done for me lately? You gotta be like Hamza radiallahu an. You gotta be like Umar radiallahu an, and be with the righteous company. Otherwise, you're gonna end up like Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayt. And that's the lesson for today. We stop here for today. I ask Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi'ala to make us among those who listen to speech and follow the best of it. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله عليه وصحبه وتابعين. I usually give 5 minutes for the floor. If you have any questions about anything I said today, by all means feel free. If not, then I'll be asking you questions. Sisters, do you have any questions about what we talked about? Okay, brothers, do you have any questions about what we talked about? Habibi, hey Anjum, how are you, man? This brother comes from Gold Coast. Wallahi, I respect that. He's a Canadian from Muslim Saga. It's actually Mississauga. I met him before, alhamdulillah, may Allah bless. He comes in with his wife. Is the wife in the house? Your halal girlfriend, is she here today? No? Okay, she's at home, okay. It's cool. All right, what's here?
Did you say that we can pray
No, no. Some of the scholars differ upon it. They say it's permissible zone. But the sunnah is to do it like they did it. Yeah. To recite it in silence, Dhuhr and Asr, because that's how they did it. And Fajr and Maghrib and Isha in loud, because that's how they did. Wallahu alam. Any other questions? Okay, my turn. Are you ready? Sisters, can you give me the stages of revelation of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to go through? Give me the first one. That's fine. Give me the first one. Ru'ya, vision. MashaAllah, Sister Farhad. 6 months. He would see something at night, and he would see it come true in the morning. Number two, what was number two stage? Were you here, brothers, when I was talking? All right. Iqra, mashallah. Taha, yeah, it's you? You said that, mashallah. Good for you. Iqra, recite, read. What did you learn from that, sisters? Seek knowledge, you're right. And what did you learn, brothers, from the 6 months that he saw for Ru'ya? Yes. Well, who said that? MashaAllah. Habibi. Okay. Preparation. Allah is preparing. You have to be prepared. Very good. Third stage, sisters. Yes, honey. Your family. Very good. Very good. It's there. It's there a little bit later, but you're right. Brother Muhammad, sorry man, you're the ambassador. Here you go, dude. What's your name, honey? What was your name? Rumaisa. Oh, Rumaisa. Who's Rumaisa, dude? Okay, don't worry, we'll come to that. Good for you, mashallah. You take it, don't worry, don't be afraid. Just give it to her, mashallah. Good for you, Sister Rumaisa. And how old are you? 8 years old? How old are you, Brother Muhammad, did you say? Eight? I'm just saying. It's out there. He gave her the candy, man. It's like a hashallah mahri, yani, alhamdulillah mahri. Okay, very good. Okay, brothers, what did we say? What did you say? It was the iqra, right? No, the family. Okay, give me number three. Give me number three, brothers. Okay, preparation. Iqra, then qum, the qums comes in. Good for you, Shaykh Ahmed. Brother Faris is doing good. Qum al-layla illa qalila. What did you learn from that, sisters? Allahu Akbar, who said that? You, Ukhti? Who said that first? I heard it. Back there. What's your name, Ukhti? Ayla. Very good, mashallah, sister Ayla. Okay, it's kind of, the wind, the stars were not aligned. It's kind of curveball. Very good. Okay, قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. What do, you, okay, do we learn that? Very good. Implement the actions, yeah? So knowledge and action together. What's next, brothers? So, preparation, acquired knowledge, implementing the knowledge. Now you're ready for what? قُمْ for what? قُمْ فَأَنذِرْ, Shaykh. Adil. قُمْ فَأَنذِرْ. Go ahead and warn. You're ready. But warn whom first, sisters? Immediate family. What did Imam Malik say about you coming up and speak? Go ahead, Yahya. You're Yahya. I love you for the sake of Allah because you're one of the young talib ilm because I see him in the halaqat. Mashallah alaik, man. Good for you. Ya salam. Is your family here, Sheikh? Where? Point them out to me. Okay. Just tell him that Sheikh Brother Ala says, I love you for the sake of Allah, the way you raised me. Just tell him that, okay? Here you go, man. Imam Malik. He says, don't talk when you want to talk, talk when you want to talk. Very good. Tayyib. Okay. Who can give me the ayah that you saw about Ashirat al-Aqrabin? The ayah I mentioned. What is the ayah that... I said Ashirat al-Aqrabin, I mentioned that, but there's also another ayah to prove it. That was revealed. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu qu anfusakum. Brother Muhammad, la, he's going to hate me. La hawla wa quwwata illa billah. He's not coming to the halaqa anymore. But you get thawab, Sheikh. You get the reward for every step you take. MashaAllah, yani. Brothers, okay. What was then? What was after that? I got the preparation, I got iqra, I got stood up and I got up and I warned people and I did it for my family. Then, what's the final stage? Okay, public, it's good, we talked about public, but I said there was another ayah revealed. Okay. Sisters can steal, but stealing is haram, yani, I'm just saying. Brothers, you want to huddle up? What was the final stage? I mentioned. That's okay. Sisters, you remember? All right. وَلِرَبِّكَ فَاصْبِرْ. Because this path is not easy, dude. Allah says, وَلِرَبِّكَ فَاصْبِرْ. You're going to go through difficulties in the path of da'wah. Okay, very good. All right. So we'll call it a tie. Are you ready, guys? Okay. Tie break, because of time. Tie break, you get every color on this thingy. Okay, there you go. And I believe there are five. Yeah. So I'm just going to remind you of the tie break rules. I will say a question, a little bit be tricky, okay? And if you were listening, you'll get it. But it's the first hand that is raised. It's both for brothers and sisters. As soon as you raise your hand, remember what I do? I stop, right? I don't repeat or complete the question. If you get it right, you win this and your team wins. If you get it wrong, remember, the other team wins by default. And again, your team members will hate you for life. I'm just saying, no pressure. Are you ready, guys? Here we go. Tie break question. What is the timeline of the Ummah? Go ahead. I'm sorry, man. I didn't see that hand. Go ahead, honey. Okay, very good. You got the surah. Tell me that the three words that I mentioned. Because this one is difficult. Remember, there are three words that I mentioned in the three stories. that will tell you the timeline of the ummah, of the da'wah. You can go ahead, you can huddle up, help her out. Okay, you can just tell me the story or the words in English. It doesn't have to be in Arabic. Very good. And what are they? If you tell me the story, I'll give it to you. What's your name, honey? People of the cave, brother Faris mentioned the ayah, but I mentioned the three words and the three stories. That's what I'm looking for. Okay, who wants it? Okay, Sister Farah had her up, but if you want it, you can get it. What's your name, honey? What's your name? Ayah? How old are you, Sister Ayah? 9, mashallah. Brother Muhammad, how do you feel about older women? Just say. I am dead today. I am telling you. Okay, Sister Ayah, you have the floor. It's all yours, honey. If you get it, help her out. That's fine. Just tell me the story. You don't have to tell me yet. Boys of the cave, they had a tyrant ruler. They want, don't mess with this guy, man. Don't ruffle feathers. Don't make any waves. Very good. Number two. The two gardens, yeah, they're equal. So what do we do? Let's talk. You're right. Number three. Power. Dhul Qarnayn. He had the army. He had the support of the people. He had everything else. He said, biquwa. Now I can enforce it. Sister Aya, sisters wins, power to the sisters. Yeah, very good, good for you. If you guys have your wives over here, you'll have a very pleasant evening tonight. Otherwise, we can have all a miserable evening. With that, I thank you, my mom, thanks you, and thank you for flying with Air Canada. Have a pleasant evening. Thank you for now. May Allah bless you, inshallah. Subhanaka Allah, hamdik. Nashallah, astaghfiruka, atubu alayk. I will see you, inshallah, next time. Jazakumullah khayyam, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.